Morning, turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And this is going to be kind of short. I mentioned that because the folks on tune in via the internet mentioned to you that we appreciate you tuning in. Today the message will be short because we've got to have a meeting at the end of the message with our folks here about some plans for our upcoming Bible conference. It's not too late to make plans to come if you want to come. There are no rooms left at the Quality Inn, but I can give you the name of hotels. If you're interested in attending the Bible conference, you can contact me. My contact information is on our website. For those listening over Facebook, that would be understandingyourbible.com. And for those on the website, then there you know that the information is there. Email, telephone numbers, and so forth. I want to talk to you this morning for just a few minutes about a pet peeve of mine when it comes to theology. And when I say a pet peeve, it's something that crops its head quite frequently. And the things I say here, some of you here may not agree with them. Some of you listening in might not agree with them, but they're not anything that we should divide over or whatever. But one of the things that bothers me among religious people about as much as anything else, other than, number one, the main thing is when people pervert the gospel. That's above all. But also, when people attribute things to God that are not of God. And the reason that bothers me is because it distorts people's view of God Almighty. And in some ways, I think it diminishes greatness, the infallibility of God Almighty. And what I'm talking about is when people talk about that things like storms, hurricanes, rains, that God brings those to certain people as punishment. But God brings those to give us a sign of the world being bad and so forth. I remember years ago when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, that I preached a message about, "Did God Destroy New Orleans?" was the title of it. There was a lady down there that went to Mark Rumfeller's church in Baton Rouge. And she so liked the message that she sat down and transcribed it and put it in writing to give out to people. Because even preachers that were fundamental, Jerry Falwell, I'll never forget, was on TV. And he said that the reason that God sent that hurricane to destroy New Orleans was because of the homosexuality in the city. Like no other city has homosexuality. And so many times people attribute things to God that are not of God. And I know as a young person, I was taught that God is in control of all things in the universe. And that God, and when I say that, I'm not denying God's power. God has the power to do whatsoever He will, whensoever He will. But to say that God is doing things today that He's not doing distorts the truth tremendously. And the reason I want to start in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, there's a verse here that I think is very appropriate, and it's it's verse 11 I was getting to. And we'll read in verse 10 first. "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest." In other words, if you're going to do anything, you better do it while you're here, because there's no chance to do it afterwards. "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. Now take heed to that. Time and chance happeneth to them all. You see, God Almighty created this heaven and earth. But when Adam fell there in the garden, there was a curse that was placed upon this earth. And we're going to read about that in Romans 8 a little later in the message here. But the fact is that in the Old Testament, God many times used the elements to demonstrate His wrath. And we would never deny that, obviously. Look what happened in Genesis chapter 6, where God destroyed the whole world with a flood. But in Genesis 6, and you don't need to turn there, verse 17 says, "Behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female." So people look at that and they think, well, then God throughout time has used physical circumstances, supernatural circumstances, to bring judgment upon men. But that absolutely is not true. And we're going to show you by the scriptures. Another example in the Old Testament. When God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And in Genesis 19 it says, "And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. The Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." So in both cases, and in many other cases throughout the Old Testament, God used the elements to bring about judgment. But in doing so, he always delivered the just. I saw a post on Facebook Friday. I think it was Friday morning. And as the storm was moving up through Georgia, a man posted that the storm had turned and missed the city he was in. And he said, "Prayer works." And I'm thinking, there must not be anybody in North Carolina that prays. There must not be anybody in Florida that prays. Think about that, folks. Prayer works. Well, I guarantee you, those people up there in North Carolina, when those water came crashing down off those mountains, they were praying. They were probably begging God for His mercy. And you see, as the writer of Ecclesiastes said, time and chance happens to them all. It was just by chance that those people ended up over there. They made decisions to live over there. And it really brought home to me, because I always said every time a hurricane would hit Florida, I'd say, "See, those people ought to move to the mountains." Well, the mountains didn't protect them, did it? And people very close to us are suffering today. They're stranded. They can't even get to where there's fuel or food or medicine. And I hope you'll pray for those people. But the point I want to make is the fact that because people do not understand the truth of Scriptures, they're operating under the assumption. See, when I was growing up, I was taught that God Almighty, once you get saved, God has a plan for your life. I argued with a couple, Mary and I argued with a couple going down to Florida one time about, they said that the Lord had picked their spouse out for them, and there wasn't anybody on the planet that they could be happy with or whatever. And she said, "You believe that, don't you, Steve?" And I said, "No." And after I recovered from Mary slapping me upside the head, no, she did. She understood. I said, "No." I said, "God didn't pick Mary out for me. I picked Mary out for me." I said, "I did it according to as much as I knew, according to the Scriptures, that I should not be unequally yoked and so forth. I had direction." But this idea that God has people, you see, this idea of God having your whole life planned out, that's real convenient, because then when something bad happens, who can you blame? God. Because He did it. And if something real good happens, you can say, "Well, now, look at me. I have the favor of God operating in my life." And those statements just grind at me and just eat away at me. Because I think about all the people, when they talk about the favor of God and the blessings of God being upon them, what about all these people that are not having the favor of God? Where in reality, if you're saved, you've got the favor of God. But it's not manifested in physical things, folks. It's not manifested in the kind of car you drive, the house you live in. The things that you have in Christ are spiritual blessings, and every saved person, no matter where they go to church or what they might call themselves, if they are saved, they have every spiritual blessing that you have. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Now look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when bad things happen to people, it's not because of sin in their life. Now let me clarify that. Sin in a person's life can lead to bad things. I mean, if a person gets drunk, gets behind the wheel of a car and drives into a telephone pole, they brought that on themselves. And so bad decisions can result in bad results. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Now notice verse 19. "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling" what? "The world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation." When Christ hung on that cross and bore the sins of all men, God reconciled the world unto himself, so that today God is not exercising his wrath upon the world. The things that happen bad happen as a result of living in a sin-cursed world. And listen to me, folks, they happen to saved people just like they happen to lost people, because we're not exempt. The difference is that we have the Word of God and the Scriptures to bring comfort. So you say, "Well, a person shouldn't pray that God would make the storm miss them." And well, you know, when you do that, you're basically praying it hits somebody else. Think about that. I believe in praying for people in dire circumstances. I believe in praying for people to have strength and encouragement and comfort and wisdom. All of those things. But you see, so many times people want to look at God as though He's like some kind of Santa Claus in the sky, dealing out blessings to those that deserve them and condemning those that don't. Well, the fact is, none of us deserve anything. None of us deserve anything. But God reconciled the world to Himself. And in this dispensation of the grace of God, God is dealing with man on the basis of His grace. And when I say dealing with man, He has provided a means of salvation to anybody that will believe the truth of the gospel and receive the gospel and be saved. And then, you see, they have a hope beyond this life. They have a hope beyond the physical circumstances of what's going on in this life. You know, in Romans chapter 2, Paul said God is no respecter of persons. Years ago, I made a lady very mad on Facebook. I probably shouldn't even tell this. I don't think she's listening. But she was on Facebook talking about how her dog was very sick. And she had prayed for her dog to be healed, that God had healed her dog miraculously. I said, "Did you take it to the vet?" "Yeah." "Did they operate on it?" "Yeah, they removed the tumor." And I said, "Well, it sounds like to me the vet saved your dog." And she said, "I think you're being a smart aleck." And I said, "I am." I said, "But I want you to stop and think about something. Just use some reason. Why would God answer your prayer to heal your dog when hundreds of children die every month over at St. Jude's Hospital?" Well, she unfriended me, so I haven't heard from her since. But think about it. People just, you want to pray for your dog? Pray for your dog. Paul said pray about everything. But when you attribute things to God that you don't have any scriptural basis for, that's all you're doing is just attributing them to God. Outside of the knowledge of God's Word, Paul tells us to pray about all things. Make your supplication known unto God. But then think about that in relation to what are our promises in relation to prayer. You see, God told the disciples, He said, "Whatsoever you shall ask, you shall receive." But we don't have that promise. Why, over in Corinthians, Paul prayed 3 times for the Lord to remove the thorn in the flesh. Was Paul wrong for praying that? No. Did Paul expect it to happen? Yes. Did it happen? No. And there was a reason God didn't answer that prayer. Because Paul later says that his strength was made perfect in weakness. So the point I'm trying to get to is that we are living on planet Earth, and the Bible says time and chance happens to them all. As a matter of fact, over in Luke chapter 10, there's the story there of the Good Samaritan. Let's just turn back there and look. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. "And Jesus, answering, said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead." Now notice the next phrase there. "And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." By chance. You see, I believe that God Almighty loves us. He cares for us. He has saved us. He has sealed us on the day of redemption. And He's given us His Word to bring comfort. Notice over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You see, that's a wonderful promise. There is comfort in God Almighty. There's comfort in the Scriptures. There's comfort in knowing that beyond this life, there is hope. There's comfort in knowing that God loves us and we're His children and He cares about us. But He's not manipulating all the circumstances of our life. We're a free will beings. We have choices. And we make choices. And most of the time, those choices determine the paths of our life. And yet, God, when we do mess up or make mistakes, we have comfort through the Scriptures, comfort through the Word of God, comfort through other people. Romans chapter 8, look back in Romans. I know I use this verse a lot, or these verses a lot, but it speaks volumes. You remember when Paul was in jail over in Acts chapter 16? You remember what happened over there? He was in prison and God sent an earthquake. And the gates were opened up. And he was miraculously released from prison. Earlier on in the book of Acts, Peter was in prison and God sent an angel. Why didn't God send Paul an angel? Well, because as the dispensation of grace began to be revealed, God was revealing through His Word and through His apostles the truth that God has reconciled the world into Himself. God's no longer mad with us. God's not pouring out His wrath. But there are natural consequences of living in a sin-cursed earth. Notice what Paul says in Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know, now notice this statement, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Now that's not a really encouraging statement, is it? The whole creation groaneth. I mean, think of all the hurt and heartache of this world. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they. Or as Paul said, a lot of times, you know, people have an idea to look out into the world and say, well, they are suffering the consequences of not living a good life. God's pouring out His wrath. God is trying to teach them something. Paul said, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? You see, Paul said in Romans chapter 7, just in chapter before this one, Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body, from the body of this death? Oh, wretched man that I am. He's wretched because he's living in a body of flesh. And that flesh is deteriorating. And so all the bad things that we see around us, folks, they're a result of living in this world that is under a curse of sin. And we're not exempt from that. But we do have a hope that others do not. Because our hope is in the life beyond this life. And the way that we get that hope is by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and resting in Him and all that He's done for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2, Paul says, "For in this we groan," talking about in this body of flesh, "in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." You see, we have a hope beyond this life. And every saved person has that same hope. And that is the redemption of our body, the catching away, the resurrection of the dead, and so forth. So there's hurt. There's heartache. There's calamity. And it's very easy sometimes for people to say, "Well, why me?" And yet, the Scripture tells us, because we're saved, we have not been exempted. And when God's wrath does come, we will be exempted because He will deliver us from this present evil world before that wrath comes. Before that 70th week of Daniel comes and the wrath is poured out upon this world and there's all those terrible things that take place in the book of Revelation, we're going to be delivered. Just like God delivered Noah and his family, just like God delivered Lot and his family from Sodom and Gomorrah, so God is going to deliver us from this present evil world and from all the hurt and the heartache. But while we're still here, we're not exempt, folks. And God is not favoring one over the other. He doesn't favor one city over another city and send hurricane to this way and hurricane that way. I remember years ago down in Edgewater Beach, Florida, Doug Dodge Church. I was down there for a weekend meeting. We were doing a marriage seminar, and the week before, a hurricane had hit there on the beach, but it just missed Edgewater and went on up and hit further up around Daytona Beach. And there was a Baptist church there, and they had one of those huge signs out there, and it said, "We prayed the hurricane away." Well, there was thousands of people that lost their homes and their churches and everything else. So I say these things because it's important that we understand that so many times people make statements, same time we even make statements, that credits God with doing things that He didn't do. I remember when there was a church shooting down in Atlanta. The guy that went there and shot 9 people, he said God told him to do that because those people were not teaching the right doctrine. You see, it's real easy to blame God. But most of the things that occur in our life, not all of them, but an awful lot of the things that occur in our life are because of our bad decisions. And there's many things that happen in our life that we just have nothing to do with. But we can always trust in one thing, and that is, we have the comfort of God Almighty, and we have the assurance of knowing that we're His, regardless of the circumstances of life, if we trusted it in Him. And if you've not, I hope you will this morning. All right, we're going to close for there and for today, and we've got some business to take care of, and so we'll sign off here with the internet and get right to what we need to talk about. Of course, our Bible conference is coming up, and there are certain things that we need to help with. Stephanie, you said you put a paper on the back there to sign.